Well, it's good to be with each of you today again. I wanted to just briefly share that we, if you haven't been joining us regularly, we have been working through, since January, we've been working through the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians, we hear this word unity a lot. And in Ephesians, we hear the reminder that we as the body of Christ are one. And through that book and that reminder of who God is, everything that God has done, and who we are, and what we need to do as a response, we've taken a break from Ephesians. We got up to chapter 5, halfway through chapter 5, and we took a break. And now we're working through our church covenant. And if you're sitting here, and maybe this is your first time, or you're visiting, or maybe you've been here for a few weeks, and you've heard this word, and you're thinking, well, what is a church covenant? Church covenant, not church coven. That's a whole nother thing. We don't want to mess with that, right? Church covenant is a promise that we make to each other. A promise that we look at each other and we say, I promise, I vow to act in this way. I promise, I covet myself to you and you to me. And together as one, we are going to live our lives in this way. So we've talked about our various responsibilities as members of the church, what it means to be a member, that there is a high cost, that there is a high responsibility to being and belonging to a body of believers. You and I, we belong together. If we are a family, if we are the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ here on earth, what a privilege that is. And as a privilege, being in any sort of family is a privilege, isn't it? Yeah? Oh, man, you guys are revealing some things right now. No, it is a privilege to be in a family. It's certainly a privilege to be in God's family. But along with the privilege comes responsibility, comes this fight that we must endure. We've worked through how we are promising, we're covenant to protect the unity of our church. How do you protect the unity of your church? Well, you commit to choosing to act in a godly way, act in love towards one another, and refusing to gossip. That's something we talked about a few weeks ago. That you choose, you commit to following the godly leaders that God has placed among you. That's what we talked about last week. And this week, we're working through this idea that we all have a responsibility. We share in the responsibility to pray for our church's growth. When you hear that word growth, typically our minds quickly go to the corporations that are trying to grow their product. They're trying to grow their consumer base. Typically, when we hear that word growth, it will either make us think of something really, really good and exciting, or maybe we're thinking about sneaky tactics that corporations have. Well, I want us to move away from that second thing and remind us that growth, godly growth, is an exciting thing. It is a thing that we must take on with joy, but I hope to today tweak our understanding of growth just a little bit. First, I need to ask you, what came first, the chicken or the egg? It's that age-old question, right? And we think about it. The more I think about it, I'm convinced it was the chicken. Because it just doesn't quite make sense for God to have some eggs, put the eggs down, and then say, okay, Adam, this is what you need to do. You need to sit on them. And then they're going to break open and these things are going to pop out. Or, because he didn't have an incubator, right? Right? So I'm convinced that the chicken came first, right? And we think about that. Think about two things that are needed for each other. We need chickens and we need eggs, right? We need growth, both in numbers and in spiritual depth, don't we? We think about discipleship and evangelism, two things that any church cannot exist without, can it? A church cannot exist without discipleship and evangelism. It just cannot happen. If you have a church, if you have a group of people and you gather them together and you call them a church and you look and you see no discipleship, you see no evangelism, you're not looking at a church, you're looking at a country club. You're looking at a group of people that just get together to have a good time. Having a good time together is fine, but that's not church. Amen? All right, there we go. You guys know. So discipleship and evangelism, they go hand in hand. But I'm convinced that just like the chicken and egg thing, I'm convinced that one comes before the other. I'm convinced that discipleship is the natural Evangelism is the natural outgrowth of discipleship. Jesus, he took his disciples. And what did he do? He sent them out. He said, go into all the earth. Go start here in Jerusalem, then go to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Go out and share this good news gospel message. Be my witnesses. Tell the world about what you've seen and heard. And you and I, it's great for us to go out and to share about what Jesus has done in our hearts. But guess what? Jesus has got to be doing something in your heart for you to get out and share about what he's doing in your heart. Does that make sense? Makes a whole lot of sense to me. So you and I, when we're talking about praying for the growth of our church, when I read this church covenant back when I was applying here for the church, I'm reading through all of the documents, I get to the church covenant, I read that, and immediately my mind went to discipleship. Immediately when I heard this phrase, I will share in the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth. You know what I thought of? I need to be praying for the spiritual growth of everybody that calls faith home. And I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you that you, if you call faith home, that's your responsibility as well. Praying for our together spiritual growth. So if you open up your Bibles, go to 1 Colossians, right? There isn't a 1 Colossians. I checked. Go to Colossians. And we're in Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading because if I read the Bible, then I can't get anything wrong, right? God kind of did it perfect. And I can't stumble over my words there. So here we go. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and of Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all of the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world is bearing fruit and growing as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Let's stop right there. Before we get to verse 7, I want to point out and read this again, which has come to you, starting in verse 6. Talking about the gospel which has come to you, indeed, the whole world, it is bearing fruit and growing. What is Paul saying here? It's saying that the gospel, when it penetrates our heart, what does it do? Just sit there? Just lay dormant? Just hang out until you die and then you get to go to heaven and everything is great? No, the gospel, when it penetrates our heart, what does it do? It bears fruit. It grows. Thinking about years ago when I was talking with some students, and we were evaluating various things that took place in a youth group. And one of them had the audacity to say, you know, we all kind of got the gospel figured out. And I said, oh, you do? Oh, good. That's awesome. And they say, we've heard it many times. And it's like, yes, I'm doing my job then, right? And they say, maybe we could back off a little bit. I said, man, I'm not doing my job, right? They said, we think that you maybe share the gospel too much, and even if they're new people and visitors, that's great. That makes sense. You know, somebody comes in, we don't know if they're saved or not, share the gospel. Perfect. But if it's just us, we're all just looking around and we see, yeah, we all believe in Jesus, you could teach on something else, right? And then I said, oh, I really am not doing my job well, right? Here's the thing. If you've been saved for one day or 100 years, you need to hear the gospel. Because as we understand the depth of God's love for us, as we understand all that Jesus has done for us, that's where it starts. It penetrates our heart. It grows. It bears fruit. You think, oh, well, I don't need the gospel. I just need to learn how to live correctly. Yeah, that's the gospel. I don't need the gospel. I just need to know how to, you know, not be angry with my neighbor. Yeah. You know how you not be angry with your neighbor? You allow God to change your heart. You allow God to get in there and do his work. Because on our own, what can we do? Nothing. But when we trust in God, when we allow God to work in us and through us, what can he do? Everything. So as we understand what the gospel is, the depth and richness of God's love for us, the richness of having salvation in Jesus' name, that's the thing that does the work in our heart. That's the thing that bears fruit. That's the thing that causes us to grow. Let's go on to verse 7. It says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servants, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Wouldn't that be great? If you get a letter from the Apostle Paul and he says, hey, Epaphras, this guy, he's a faithful guy, he's a good minister. And you know what he said about you guys? He said that you guys love. He said that you guys love well. You love well in the Spirit. Wouldn't that be a great thing for a church to be known as? A lot of times in today's world, churches are known for what they are for and what they are against, aren't they? Right? The things that they do and things that they don't do. Wouldn't it be great if somebody looked at our church and said, yeah, you guys love, and you love well. You love well in the Spirit. Wouldn't that be a great blessing? Wouldn't that be an incredible encouragement to know that we're doing at least that right, right? Verse 9, and so from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I love the wordage here. I love how we hear that word bearing and we hear that word continuing. What's the key there? Something that didn't just happen once. There is a progression that is taking place. There's a continual focus on bearing good fruit. There's a continual focus on growing. Not just once. Not just, oh, I attended that class a couple years back. It was really great. Dave did an awesome job. I attended that class. It's sweet. Yeah. Okay, what now? What else? Well, you see, I attended that class when I was a kid, and it was good. All right, well, what's God doing in your heart and life today? Well, you see, a couple years ago, I attended this class. See how we hang on to things sometimes? A little silly how we hang on to the things that we've done. When in fact, we shouldn't be hanging on to the things that we've done. We shouldn't be hanging on to the classes we attend or maybe the small groups that we attend or even the Sunday morning times that we come. It's good. All those things are good and we ought to be doing them. But we don't hang on to those because if we hang on to those, if we think that those things are somehow earning us more grace, then we've kind of missed the mark, aren't we? It's not about the things that you're doing. It's the things that God is doing in you. Are you angry all the time? Well, how do you fix that? You submit to the Lord. Are you struggling with lust? How do you fix that? Well, you submit to the Lord. Are you prideful? Well, how do you fix that? Well, you submit to the Lord. You see the trend here? It's not about what you can do. It's not about how great you are. It's not about the amount of effort that you can put in to making yourself grow. Can any of us make ourselves grow? No. It's about the Lord, submitting to him and allowing him to work in us. Let's continue on. Let's back to verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Isn't that neat wording? He has qualified us. We aren't good enough to get into this spiritual race on our own. We're not the ones that can somehow manage to meet the qualifications. We don't submit our time. We don't submit our works. We don't submit our money. We say, okay, well, I earned it. No, we didn't earn it at all. He's the one that has qualified us. Qualified us what? To share in the inheritance in the saints in light. There's that word inheritance again, reminding that you and I, we are children of God. And as his kids, he gives us this rich, incredible inheritance. Something nobody or no thing can take from us. No, we have it because we are his. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. What a blessing. Turn over to Colossians still, chapter 2. And I wanted us to read verse 6 and 7. It says this, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I have a lot of trees around my house. As my little nephew says, I live in the woods. And all these trees, they remind me that trees can be really impressive. They go up and they're big and they're tall and they're mighty. And wow, we can look at them. And I do a lot of that. We'll be walking and Ashley's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm looking at this tree. She goes, okay. Just keep on looking at the tree. I like trees. They're impressive. They're great. They're big. It's awesome to see them grow. But what happens to a tree if its root system is compromised? What happens to a tree if it grows and it shoots up and it's really tall, but its roots are, they're just really shallow. It only goes down a foot or maybe two. What happens when a big gust of wind comes? The whole thing comes falling down. So here's the key to quote-unquote church growth. If we want to be a church that people look at and say, wow, things are rocking and rolling, great things are happening there, then our roots need to be deep. I said it last week. If God has called us to be this great regional church, praise God, awesome, we're all in. If God has called us to be a small little country church that is just faithful to him, praise God. That's awesome. We're all in. Because what matters is not how big the tree is. What really matters is how deep the roots are. Yeah, the tree can be impressive, and yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, numbers are good. As we see numbers, we recognize, you know what, God's doing something. As we see numbers, we point to him, and we give thanks to him, and we are glad that more people can be invited and included in the family, right? Isn't it great to have a bunch of people stuffed in a room? We can say that, right? That whole pandemic thing's over, right? I don't know. Who knows? Your perspective. Isn't it great, though, to have family together and to see that family grow, to see that family expand? Yes, it's great. But if that family is not rooted, if that family doesn't have deep roots, if that family is not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, then a couple of gusts of wind come and the whole thing comes falling down. Not us. We're not worried about being a mile wide and an inch deep. Let's be a mile deep. And however wide we get, that's up to the Lord. He's the one that supplies the increase. He's the one that decides those sort of things. But for me, and my prayers for you, is that we would grow in him, firmly rooted, firmly established, firmly set in our faith, and growing each and every single day, not just on Sundays. We got to crack this book open every single day of the week. We got to bend our knee and pray to the Lord every single day. This isn't just a Sunday-only kind of faith that we're asking. This isn't a Sunday-only faith that we're aiming for. No, it's every single day. Reliance on Him. Lord, do a work in me. Father, would you change me? Would you make me look more like Jesus? Less like myself. Less like the old man. More like my Savior. That's my prayer for each of you. That ought to be your prayer for each of us. Together, will you pray for the growth of our church? Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the ability to trust in you. And Lord, as we trust in you, would you grow us? Would you deepen our roots? Will you allow us to understand who you are better each and every day? And Lord, as we grow in you, as we deepen our walk with you, as we are closer to you, Lord, would you allow that to overflow and us to become closer with one another, and for the work that you're doing in our heart, for that to overflow and for us to be good stewards of that information and to share that good news with other people. Lord, increase our discipleship and allow that to increase our evangelism as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.